KMCHD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Enlightened philosophers tell us that we are divine beings in human form. Let's get real here. How can we live a busy life with a job, kids, and a mortgage and still be spiritual? Join CJ Liu as she tackles real life issues through a spiritual lens and talks with experts in relationships, work, and more. You'll get practical life skills and learn how to touch, feel, and experience a whole new way of living. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on fireitupwithcj.com and call CJ now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Welcome in to Fire It Up with CJ. This is New Sky Radio, powered by CBS. Welcome to the show today. We have a great guest. I want to give you CJ's website so you can keep up with what's going on with CJ. She has her blog on her website. You can see upcoming shows, past shows. That's fireitupwithcj.com. Be sure to check that out. And also, while you're there, go over to her Facebook. You can go to Fire It Up with CJ on Facebook, and you can get a hold of her there. You can look at what she's got going on. She always puts posts on there, so we would love to have you check that out, her Facebook or her website. I'm going to go right to CJ today because we have a great guest and a great show, so I don't want to miss a minute of it.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Cassandra. Welcome, everybody, to the Fired Up with CJ show. I am CJ Liu, and I'm now in 75-degree temperatures. It's a beautiful sunny day in Seattle.
That's what we have. Yes, we had
in Michigan.
It's been in the 50s in the morning, which not completely happy with. But you know, the afternoon it gets so wonderful. A few degrees would be nice for the boaters and the swimmers. My daughter's at a water park today. You know, a little warmer for that kind of thing. But you know what? It's glorious.
Well, I don't know about you, but we had a heat. I was a couple weeks ago. I was on the East Coast when they had that heat wave, and it was incredible humidity. Incredible temperatures. At one point, it was like 100-something degrees. And sadly, the Global Change Research Program tells us these extreme heat waves, which are now sort of rare, but coming almost every summer, will become more common in the future. And I don't know about you, but I was cranking up the AC, you know, and intermittently diving into a pool and like sitting at the beach in this kind of desperate, sad sort of way during my vacation. And sadly, our guest, Dan Cox, says, yeah, you could continue relying on that, but it's kind of an illusion. Longer term, we cannot rely on AC as our savior during these hot times. So we're going to slap your face into the reality of our future and tell you why cranking up the AC and having that be your savior is probably not the best long-term solution. So welcome, Stan.
Great to be with you again.
Yeah, I've still been thinking about the previous show that we did on your newest book, Any Way You Slice It, Unrationing. And this book was really related to that, isn't it? I mean, we are resource constrained, and you know, there's some uncomfortable truths about using AC with reckless abandon, which I've never really thought about because I'm too hot to think about it. So I thought if you could start off by telling us, I know we don't want to hear it, but why? What are the risks if we're relying indefinitely on AC to kind of solve our problems with the heat?
Well, our last half century or so of becoming dependent on air conditioning has led to a number of consequences that are not very good. And the headline one is the effect on atmospheric greenhouse gases and the fact that we will, as summers get hotter, we'll use air conditioning more, adding to the burden of greenhouse gases, ensuring that summers in the future will be even hotter and that we'll use even more air conditioning. So I wrote the book partly to see if there's a way to break that upward spiral, I guess you could say. But there are other reasons, even, and I tell people, even those who are not concerned about global warming, there are a number of other reasons that you might want to reconsider our dependence on air conditioning.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about those in the next segments, about there's health reasons, there's environmental reasons, like you just said, but I think that there are a whole bunch of health reasons that I hadn't considered. And don't worry, we're not going to leave you hopeless and helpless after this segment. During the segments, we're going to give you some really practical things that you can do if you're equally feeling hot and despondent because you want AC, but yet you know perhaps that maybe it's not the best long-term solution. Because if it is a crazy cycle, isn't it? It's just it's a crazy kind of cycle.
And I should point out that I do realize there's lots of evidence to show that during heat emergencies, especially these severe heat waves in urban areas, that there are people, for reasons of age or health or other reasons, who are very vulnerable to heat. And I'm not saying, you know, cut the air conditioning off on people like that, or shut it down in hospitals or nursing homes or anything. But there's a big difference between that use of air conditioning is almost a public health matter, and the very routine, lavish use that we make of air conditioning in everyday life, and at times when it's not really necessary.
Okay, so what would you describe as a lavish use of air conditioning? We're bathing ourselves in AC.
Well, the thing that I have heard most from people since the book came out, and there are national polls to support this, is that the number one complaint people have about their office environment, people who work in office buildings, is that it's too cold in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, I have to take a sweater to work, or I have to use a space heater under my desk. This is a very common problem, and so that would be probably one of the easiest places to start. And I realize that it's hard in a large building to get every corner of the building an optimum temperature, but until we start using more earth-friendly construction, we're stuck with the buildings we have. We're going to have to try to find ways to use less air conditioning, and some of it really is lavish. There was a sort of informal survey that a New York Times reporter did a few years ago, going around Manhattan into different clothing stores and finding that the more upscale the store, the lower the temperature in the store. It was almost a perfect relationship. And the people, you know, the store managers said, yeah, people associate really cool indoor temperatures with luxury and so forth.
You know, the thing I cannot stand, and it actually almost makes me not want to go into the store, is when we were in New York and some people just leave the door open. And I said, why is this door open? And they said, because it attracts people inside because it's relatively cooler. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And they said, yeah, it helps foot traffic. I'm like, so you're cranking up the AC, which you have to crank up higher so that the place feels cooler, and you're leaving two gigantic doors wide open. I mean, to me, that is beyond lavish. That was just stupid. Not to be judgmental or anything.
Now, there was a big, I think, political fight over that the last few years. I think that's not permitted anymore. I'm not sure.
Yeah, okay. So I still see him. I'm going to go in there and say, Stan says this isn't permitted. Right. Shut this door immediately.
Right.
Why is this open? Okay, so, you know, climate change. I've been covering climate change in a lot of shows. There are bigger fish to fry. Why AC? Why should we care? I mean, there's so many other things that we should be doing. Why should we care about AC?
Well, it when you look at the way that it has changed our lives since, since, for example, I grew up in Georgia, and where AC. That was one of the early adopting states for air conditioning because of the heat and humidity there. We didn't have central AC till I was about 12 years old. And life followed a much different pace mm-hmm. in those days. You'd have stores close for the afternoon on summer days. People would leave work early and go to the pool. Most importantly, there was a lot of socializing out under shade trees or on the front porch, on screen porches, people, kids running up and down the block, having a good time. And, you know, this isn't 105 degrees. You know, this would be on a nice, warm, humid 85 degree evening, maybe. Mm-hmm. On the kind of evening today when you go through those same neighborhoods and the only sounds you'll hear will be the compressors and fans on the air conditioners running. There's been a very well documented move, general move of American life indoors and more insular kind of society that we've become. And because summertime normally was the time for maximum outdoor interaction and for kids to go roaming around the world and so forth. Now, with that cut off, air conditioning has played a big role in the withdrawal of Americans from their neighborhoods and communities.
Okay, good. So what you're saying is, I'm hearing a couple points. One is, so my question is, why AC? You know, I mean, there's like driving your car less, riding your bike more, you know, and so there's so many different fish to fry with respect to climate change. But what I'm hearing you say, based on your stories, is, hey, I lived in Georgia for a long time. I didn't die. In fact, I may have been happier because I was outside riding my bike, swimming in a pool, hanging out with my neighbor. So we can live without AC. And you know what? When I grew up in New Jersey, it was super humid, really hot. We never had central AC, and we still don't have AC in the house that I had over there until I was like in my 30s, because you can live without it, I think. I mean, you can live without it, and I think your point is you can live without it. And, you know, certainly there are going to be days when it gets super hot, and no one's saying, you know, suffer. Go into your house and just suffer. You know, go to the movie theater or go to your basement. I mean, there are other solutions, but you can live without AC. And what I'm hearing you say is that you can even live better. I mean, who knows? Your life could actually be better without AC. Could I go as far? Is that what you're saying? That's what I heard you say, at least, or that's how I translated. Yep. Is that what you were thinking?
Sure. But, and that's both individually and as as a society, we could do better without AC. It's only, for example, I'm convinced that it's only because of the existence of air conditioning that we've allowed the insane commuter societies to build up, that have built up in big Sun Belt cities. I think the working people of America would be in open revolt if they had to sit in traffic for about an hour each direction in these overbaked urban heat islands if they didn't have air conditioning in the car.
Yeah.
It just the fact of having to breathe the pollution would be enough. So making it easier to do that has encouraged, you know, building even more infrastructure to invite even more traffic in, and to build more buildings that are completely unadapted to hot weather and require more air.
It goes back to your first point. It's an insane cycle, right? We're like, let's move out further, then we can build more, and let's build more, which will cause more problems. It's just an insane cycle. So we have Stan Cox, who the Atlantic magazine named in 2012 a brave thinker, and I do think that this book was really pretty courageous, because I can now see how people were threatening you with guns after reading this book. Okay, up ahead, we're going to be discussing not only how AC can help your health, but how it can help you lose weight. How is that as a header? Okay, folks, we'll be right back. Make sure to check out www.firedupwithcj.com if you want to hear Stan's other show, which is also fantastic information. We'll be right back.